The message tonight, as you could see there, is about my best friend. I always like talking about my best friend. I talk about him every Sunday. But tonight I just want to focus on that aspect of friendship, that level of relationship that we can enjoy with God that sometimes we miss, that sometimes we are... You know, we miss it even due to tradition and kind of almost a religious spirit sometimes that sets in and it gets a bit of a foothold. You know, that is one of the biggest challenges in the church today is that the religious spirit that comes in and it absolutely quenches all intimacy. And this is what God desires with us. He doesn't want robotic sort of ritual and ceremonial worship like that. He wants relationship. He wants intimacy. And He knows us intimately, but the question is, do we know Him intimately? And are we aware and part of the process of Him knowing us intimately and sharing of ourselves? Whether we know it or not, He is omniscient and knows all things, knowing us better than we know ourselves. But that we can experience that relationship with Him and that intimacy with Him, that is what God is after. That is what this life is preparation for, an eternity of that absolute closeness with God, being in His full glory, His manifest presence like that 24/7 for an eternity. This life is about practicing His presence. No one is going to get to heaven and be completely shocked. Oh, is that what God looks like? Because if you don't know what He looks like by the time you die, you're most likely not going to heaven. Because this life is about experiencing God. We need to know Him in order to go to heaven one day. And so you will know exactly what God... You're not going to be shocked when you get to heaven. Put it that way. You might not be able to draw a picture of Him right now, but you're going to not be shocked. It's going to be what you expected and better in that way. But a few scriptures that I want to share tonight just to highlight a bit of this friendship aspect of our relationship with God, because sometimes we're very formal in our dealings with God. And there's almost like I always get this saying wrong in English, the arm's length thing. Sometimes I think it means there's a distance, but I think mostly people use it actually to mean there's a closeness. But I want to use it to illustrate that there's a distance. We, you know, because God really wants to embrace us, but we kind of a bit standoffish like that. Sometimes there's that kind of feeling to our relationship with Him, and it's a bit more formal and so on. And God is not about the formalities and so on. Jesus fulfilled the law. That we don't have to have this arm's length in terms of distance relationship with God where we're just performing things to keep Him happy. You know, because that's sometimes we fall back into that kind of a mentality very easy without us noticing. Subconsciously, that's the way we think. It manifests itself in the way that we interact with God and the things that we do and how we experience God. And the indicator, the litmus test is there intimacy in your time with God, in your relationship with God? Are you... You know, what are the type of things that you are hearing God say to you? You know, if you had to go and write down, these are the type of things that I normally feel I'm hearing from God. This is how I think God feels towards me most of the time. And there on that paper is going to be a very good indication of, is there real intimacy in your relationship with God? Do you really believe and understand that God loves you unconditionally? Love more than you could ever know or experience in a earthly relationship. This is very difficult, but that's where we're all growing towards. That is what it means to grow in the Lord would imply implicitly in rather there's a it would imply that we experience His love more and more. That we understand His love for us more and more, that we have a greater revelation of His love for us as we grow in the Lord. Okay. And together with that, I mean, it's all implied You can't have the one without the other, that you will be spending more time with him, and so doing, you're going to become more like him, fulfilling our common purpose. We're going to look at that just now. But I've been reading a bit through Exodus lately, and sometimes we love to skip over some of those books in the Pentateuch because it seems so langdradig and, you know, endless genealogies and measurements of arks and tents and utensils and basins and pillars and curtains and all these things. And you're like, I don't need that right now. Okay. There is purpose in having it in the Bible that we have to read. You know, that without reading the Bible, as I have to, you're not forced to do anything and God can't force you to, but you want to read the Bible, trust me, because therein is the full revelation of who God is. And you can't take out the Old Testament and think you're going to have the full revelation of who God is. It is such a beautiful, you know, there's so much beautiful insight into God's nature and His character and His heart for us and the history that mankind has walked with God and God revealing His plan of salvation to mankind so that we could be ready by the time that Jesus came to actually receive Him. If Jesus came any earlier or any later, that would not have been God's perfect will and the plan would have not have unfolded as it did. Jesus came at the perfect time. That's why we needed all of the pictures and all of the prophets and all of the understanding around creation and everything. Because right there, you can't just in the same way, and I don't want to get off track here, that you can't throw out the first 11 books of Genesis, you know, and think that you're going to have a full understanding of what it means to be a believer, because right there is the reason for Jesus having to come. Original sin. And the fact that sin brought death. And that is what Jesus came to conquer, sin and death right there. And praise God, we can declare boldly tonight that He has done it in our lives. And we're so grateful for that. And so I've had some things that I would normally breeze over in terms of verses in Exodus and so on have actually been highlighted to me recently. And I just knew that I had to share that because I found it so special and so appropriate for what I wanted to share today. And the first scripture there, speaking about God and friendship. And here you have Moses. And look, this was after the golden calf, the chapter after the golden calf. And Moses was on the mountain, at least. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Moses, after the golden calf, you know, Moses almost came down Mount Sinai with the stone tablets and he smashed them. And then he went and erected the tent of meeting like way outside of the camp. I get the feeling that Moses didn't want much to do with these disobedient and idolatrous Israelites that he was, you know, having to trek through the desert with. And there Moses is enjoying the presence of God. And as far as he's concerned, probably the rest can, you know, they can just go away or sort out their own problems. I mean, up to that point, just recently before that, you know, he had his father-in-law help him to devise strategy and get to raise up leaders to help him counsel the people and the judge between disputes and all of that. Moses was doing it morning, noon, and night, you know, pastoring 1 million people there in the desert and having a very hard time about it. And so Moses was, he was keelful. He was up to here and he's now in the tent of meeting and spending time with God. He was God's appointed man at that time. And it's so beautiful how we read there in the first part of verse 11 of chapter 33, the Lord spoke with Moses face to face. I mean, that is profound. That's a profound statement right there. Just as a man speaks with his friend. There wasn't exactly anyone else that God was speaking to face like that. And we know Moses had his problems and he murdered an Egyptian and so on. And he was very sort of unwilling and so on to go back to Egypt after running away. And, you know, God really had to plead with him and everything. So he wasn't in everything the best example to us. But still, God could choose him, the one man on the planet, to be called his friend at that point and to speak to face to face. And you know what that is? That just reveals God's heart to us in terms of that relationship and that intimacy. There you get a clear picture of this intimate relationship. Imagine sitting across a table from God and you're the only one in the whole world that is having that privilege. You know, you God's like number one servant in the world. You know, we've heard and it's been confirmed many times that at least until recently, if not now still, that Reinhard Bonnke is known as God's top servant in the world, and he says it in all humility. And that must be awesome, you know. Let's all go for that position, okay? Not competing with one another, but a desire to serve the King of Kings. I mean, that's awesome. And Moses was a man after God's heart, after all, as well. You know, if we say that of David, we've got to say that of Moses. You know, we see God also, in a sense, getting frustrated with the people, with the Israelites and so on, and Moses interceding and standing in the gap for them. And also when Aaron and Miriam were, you know, when they were in sin, and Moses again, when they even sinned against Moses, and Moses again standing in the gap for them. So Moses really had this compassionate, loving heart of God. And God chose to reveal that to his people also through Moses. But Moses had this friendship with God, this intimate relationship. There's a closeness there. There's an understanding there. It's eye to eye. There's no impediment. There's communication. He's speaking. They're talking. He's hearing God's voice clearly. God gives him clear instructions. I mean, you're talking about the measurements to make the tent of meeting, very specific measurements. Everything had to be precise. And God would tell him, I have put my spirit in that man and in that man to be able to make those gold utensils and to be able to make that exactly. Be careful that you make it exactly to the instructions. Moses heard God clearly. And you know what? Moses is not as privileged as we are today. He spoke to God across the table. We have Jesus living inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit with us every moment of the day. Moses, when he went out of the tent and away from the ark and so on, he was just Moses on his own with an instruction from God for the people. We cannot as believers go anywhere where God doesn't go with us and in us and where he can't work through us, where we can't be as sensitive to hearing his voice similar to a man speaking to you across the table. Isn't that such a privilege and so special that we can have that kind of a close intimacy? We are meant to be able to be more intimate and close with God than with our spouses in terms of communication and just experiencing the love of God for us. It is the deepest and most profound human relationship, you know, that we can experience on earth, at least the most profound relationship we can experience on earth with our own Creator, who knows us. We can be completely comfortable with him. So you, same as Moses, can be called, and for greater reason, a friend of God. Tell your neighbor, I want to be called a friend of God. Okay. And say it like you mean it. So we get some high fives in the front here. These people are serious about it. Okay. Now I want to just share with you just a few other scriptures about that highlight a few characteristics of a friendship. What does a friendship look like? And I mean, and I want you to think maybe before we even go there, think of your best friend at the moment. Or if you don't have any friends anymore, I'm not looking at anyone specific, I must. if you don't have any friends, that you think of your best friend, hopefully you had a best friend at school at some point. Okay, otherwise, that imaginary friend of yours. Think of that person. You know, think of your relationship. Think of how you felt towards that person, how excited you were always to see that person, to play with a person. I mean, Christian, he's 2 years old. He already has a best friend, Danny. And Danny came to church this morning. I think Christian was, he was so over the moon and excited. That's why he was like screaming off the service this morning. Because Danny was here. And he was so excited that he tackled Danny, that Danny's head like knocked on the floor. Anyway, but Danny's okay. He's a tough boy. Anyway, so they dick chummies. And yeah, so We have those, you know, how do you feel towards that person? You're so excited to see that person. You can't wait. That is like one of the highlights of what you can do in your week, is to see and spend time with your best mate. Man, because, yeah, we'll get there. Firstly, Exodus 33, verse 11b. So, just the second part of that verse, but just think, just keep the through the service like your best buddy in mind there. Moses would return to the camp. This is now after spending the face-to-face time with the Lord. He would go out of the tent, back to the camp, but his assistant, the young man Joshua, son of Nun, would not leave the inside of the tent. Now, Joshua was very privileged being appointed Moses' second in command, you know, to go with Moses wherever he went. And so Joshua would also be allowed into the tent. And Joshua, not needing to go and execute God's commands there, he had the privilege of being able to sort of stay in the tent there. And why would he not want to? Why would he leave the tent if he could be in that kind of presence of God like that, where that manifest presence of God is? I mean, there's a desire to spend time with God. You know, and that is a characteristic of a friendship. There's a desire and there's an actual spending of time together. You don't exactly have a best friend if you've never spent time together. Then it's not really a best friend, okay? Facebook can't quite substitute for your best friend. Now, I've got a best friend in Russia, you know, and no, we've never met, okay? No, let's just call that an acquaintance on the internet. All right. So, best friends spend time together. They enjoy each other's company. They look forward to seeing each other. Is this evident? You know what that feels like. You've had a best friend. Is that evident in your relationship with God? Because God desires also, amongst other things, to be a friend to you and for you to be a friend to Him. God desires that. And that's a good thing. I was talking a bit earlier, and I think I got way sidetracked. You know, we don't have to be formal like that with God. We are not casual or flippant with God, okay? But, you know, we always maintain respect towards Him, but you can be relaxed with Him. You can be yourself with Him. You can share mundane things with Him. He desires to be involved in every aspect of your life. I explained a few weeks ago a nice picture that I received from Pastor Tiens in Cape Town, because I was wanting to get a clearer understanding, because I had a problem with the picture that we've been, you know, that goes around in terms of how we prioritize things in our life. And you might have been here a few weeks ago, but I shared of how often we have that picture of a triangle or like a pyramid in terms of priorities, with God at the top there, at the apex, but He's the small triangle at the top, and He's number one, but He's that triangle at the top. And then you got the bigger part just below that, which is now family, and then maybe below that, work and church. And that's always a problem to us, because yes, God's number one, but we're spending the most time. We think of it as a time chart, spending more time at work and then more time at work than with the family. So there's already a problem. More time with the family than with God. So there's another problem. And the whole time, the enemy can use that kind of thinking and structure to bring condemnation and guilt. And Tiens gave me a much better picture of a circle, like a pie chart, with different slices of the pie being work, church, family, sport, me time, whatever, and God being the center of that circle, where God is part of every pie. He's the center and the apex of every slice of the pie. And that is a better way to think of God. So you're actually not putting God in a box. You're not restricting Him to one part of your week or one activity in your schedule. Because He does desire to be part of everything. God sent His Son Jesus to die for all of you, to redeem the whole of you, not just part of you. And so, how do we incorporate, acknowledge, include God in every aspect of our lives? Is God featuring in your home? Is he in your family? Do you speak of God in your family? Is he in your house? Is there evidence of God in your house? Is there a Bible lying around somewhere? Is there a scripture up somewhere? You know, are you having devotional time? Are you praying for your kids and with your kids? And, you know, we're going to talk a bit more about family the next two Sundays, but how does God feature in the home? Is he Lord and King of your home? Are you, as husband, submitted under God in terms of guidance and taking leadership from God in terms of decisions being made for the family? Or do we just take decisions that we think are good without consulting God? No, we need to commit our ways to the Lord and he will make your path straight. Okay, and then in the workplace, does God feature at all in your work? But you better believe he needs to feature there, even if it means you're just praying for your colleagues when you're at home. But he needs to feature. He wants in there. It's work is about the people, but God wants in. You are his agent at the office. God wants to bless that company because you are there. And he wants to receive the glory for it. How is he featuring there? And in your sport, I shared this morning quickly of how I did the, now I feel like bragging, you know, I did the Ironman 3 years ago. Okay, you might not believe it, but I finished. It took all day. All right, it was a very long time, so I wasn't some kind of super athlete or anything. But a lot of training did go in. A lot of time you have to spend training, hours and hours. The three disciplines, three times a week, swimming for an hour and a half at a stretch in a swimming pool can get very boring if you're not praying or worshiping. I was worshiping and praying while staring at the bottom of the Virgin Active pool, and special quality time with the Lord. When I went out running, you learn how to praise the Lord in between like huffs and puffs. You know, so you might get a different melody to some of the worship songs, but it was great. You know, and out cycling for 5-6 hours, yeah, it doesn't sound like fun to you, but I had an awesome time because God gave me a release to do it. It is a lot of time, so you have to pray about that decision. Your wife has to say yes, because otherwise it will destroy the marriage. And yeah, so God gave me the release, and I committed to spending quality time with the Lord, because there's no one else that wants to train with you like that. 10 o'clock at night, running 30 kilometers on a week's night. That's not fun for most people. It wasn't that much fun for me either. But time with God, that was awesome. And that kept me going. If there wasn't that benefit, I mean, and on the day, it culminated. And, you know, Isaiah 40, verse 31, kept me going. You know, that you will mount me up on wings like eagles. I will run and not grow weary. And I will walk, but I won't faint, you know. And I did a little bit of running and a lot of walking, but no, I didn't faint, you know, and God kept me going. And so how is God featuring in your life? How is God featuring in your activities, even in your recreation? Is it committed to the Lord? Is it consecrated? He wants in. And trust me, he doesn't want in to spoil the fun. That's not who God is. No, he's there to heighten your experience, but he'll lead you into doing the right thing. We know anyway when it's, you know, sometimes we're afraid, well, you know, what if I'm in a compromising position or whatever like that? Now, God won't lead us into sin. And we mustn't worry that, you know, what God has got is not going to match up to what the world can offer. What God has got in store for you is much better than what the world can offer. God is not there to spoil our fun. He's there to give us true life, real life. I won't go back. I tried all the sin that the world can offer. I won't go back there. Because what I've got in God now, what I'm experiencing Him in everything in my life is such a greater experience than anything that I experienced before I knew the Lord. So I'm really very, very fulfilled and happy in terms of and joyful in what I busy myself with Monday to Sunday. And having God in that, it trumps anything that the world can offer. You will never regret giving everything to God. You will never regret it. Never. There's no looking back. There's just looking forward. And God is such a giver. He's got such a heart to bless us. You can never outgive God. You can give everything away with great liberty. Watch God. Watch Him just bless you. So, friends spend time together. Exodus 34:28. Check this out. This is now when Moses went up, God asked him to come up for the tablets again. year to go and chisel some tablets out of stone. And yeah, this, we have great admiration for Moses, who was advanced in years, but he climbed up Mount Sinai with two heavy stone tablets. Man, he was seriously committed to God. He didn't complain. He learned to stop complaining by this point. He went up to the mountain, and where God could inscribe those tablets with his fingers. And God can do that like this, and he could do it anywhere, but he took Moses away. He wanted some time with his best friend. That's why God created us. He doesn't need us to exist. He wants relationship with us. He enjoys us. God rejoices over us. He dances over us. We're going to see a great example of that just now. But Moses went up there for 40 days and 40 nights. What was he doing up there all that time? And he was in God's presence the whole time. So much so, I mean, when you're in God's presence, you don't need to eat or drink. That doesn't come into your mind even. You are completely saturated and fulfilled and satisfied in just being in God's presence. Man doesn't live by bread alone. I experienced that just after, you know, after getting saved, those first 3 days, I think I had 2 bites of an apple. I didn't have a desire to eat. I didn't even want to. I took a bite the one day and then, you know, I just put it down. I just got back to praying again. Just being in God's presence like that completely fulfills you. It's just so awesome, man. And so, yeah, as Moses, you know, when you are a friend, you want to spend time. Moses spent some serious time like that. What would you give to be on top of a mountain with God like that for 40 days? I would give up food any day of the week. By the way, if you want to fast for 40 days, just maybe check it with your cell leader and so on. Keep accountable, because it's generally not recommended. If God tells you, then it's okay. All right? But, yeah, we need to be careful of that. Some people take it too far. So, we want to share each other's company. It's about shared experience with friends. Think of your best friend that you thought of earlier. I bet you did some crazy stuff together, or maybe just some really fun stuff. You know, I think of my best mate, like my first best buddy that was in primary school, and we would do everything together. They called us Funkel and Koljander, and I don't know what that is in English. Anyway, Finkel and Coriander. So, that's something else. Okay, so we did everything together, you know, egging people's houses in the neighborhood, doing whatever. We did all of this fun stuff together. It's not very good to do that now. I won't do it now. I won't recommend it. But we did a lot of crazy stuff together. Shared experience. Think of guys that go to the army together. They're still buddies very often, years and years down the line, maybe even different cities and whatever, but they keep in touch and, you know, they up to date with what's happening in each other's lives. When you go to battle together, trust me, when you do basic training together or playing rugby together, going to war like that, there's a bond that happens there. There's a friendship and a kinship that happens that goes a very long way. Shared experience. And God wants to share experience with us. He wants us, when we're out there conquering the world expects us to conquer the world Monday to Friday in the office and wherever. God wants to be there with you when it's really tough and you don't have the solution, or when the computer packs up, or, you know, a client is being difficult with you. God wants to be involved. He wants to be there. He wants to go through it with you, a shared experience, so that you can recognize that He's the one who brought you out of it, who helped you through it. Because guess what? As the Bible says, Jesus said, we can't do anything without Him. And so God is always there with us, but most of the time we don't acknowledge Him or we ignore Him. And He's there, and He's our best friend, and He wants us to share it with Him. Share the life, because you can be married and living in the same house, but you might not even be sharing each other's lives. Because there isn't communication, there isn't relationship, there is not intimacy. This is what God wants with us. We need to communicate. Allow Him like free access and liberty. He knows it anyway, but he wants you to experience Him like that. Exodus 33 verse 5. For the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites, okay. See, Moses has to do all the dirty work. But buddies sometimes do that. You give each other difficult stuff to do and challenge each other like that. You know, your buddy can tell you something that if someone else told you, they'll be heading for a bruising. or cruising for a bruising. Okay. But speeding for a bleeding. Okay, but we don't hit. But if your best buddy tells you something, you will receive it. You will take it. Because they've earned the respect and the right to speak into your life. Okay, and so yeah, God is telling Moses to do a tough thing here. Take a difficult word, a hard word to the people. Tell the Israelites, you are stiff-necked people. I mean, that's harsh. Okay, if you stiff, people don't talk like that anymore. You stiff-neck, people will look at you, hey, what's that? Anyway, if I went with you for a single moment, the Lord says, I would destroy you. The Lord is seriously frustrated here. Now take off your jewelry and I will decide what to do with you. Okay. Why jewelry? Okay, well, because they made that golden calf from the jewelry and all of that. So it's like you can't trust them with those toys. Okay. So anyway, so they've got, I mean, God is seriously venting here. Best friends can, you can do that with your best friend, can't you? You can vent. You can tell him how upset you are, how this one thing made you really angry or whatever. Friends can do that with it. You can't just do that with anyone. They might take it up the wrong way or think badly of you. Your best friend knows you, man. He knows you actually, you'll get over it because he's going to see you next week again. Someone else might not see you for a long time and he'll just think of you as some sour grape. Okay. The Lord knows Moses is going to come and see him just now again. The Lord knows that Moses will probably come and intercede for the people like he's done 100 times before. The Lord is just sharing some of his emotions with Moses. The Lord has a desire for friendship. He doesn't need it to exist. He existed long before any of us did and any human did, but he has a desire to share. He's a desire to share his emotions. We know that God can get angry. We know that we can get angry and we're allowed to, but God said, you can get angry, but do not sin. Sometimes we get so condemned by the enemy because of our emotions and stuff, and we think we're busy sinning when we're actually not sinning. Now, there's a fine line there, so don't hear me wrong, okay? And we need to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The point is, we mustn't sin, and you must watch out. But God, we know he's without sin, but yes, he rejoices, he has emotions. He's not some, we don't worship a stone image or a golden calf. We worship a living God. We are created in his image. We are called to become like God. And we have every hope with the Holy Spirit. We will get there eventually when we come before him face to face. And it's a process of getting there. But God has emotions. That's why we have emotions. That's why we can connect on a relational level. And so God can experience anger as well. But he's just venting with his best friend. Okay? We know that God didn't destroy all of them. Okay? But he's just venting, and friends can do that. You have a liberty to be yourself. Now watch out for that Sieven de Lansonder, ne, of Skinner, gossip. Watch out for spending too much time in the huis de moon, of huis genoot, as it's sometimes known. Okay? Okay, those back pages. Ooh, what are the stars up to now? You know, the Hollywood stars and so on. And it's nonsense. Don't waste your time. Okay, so we can be ourselves and we can be completely free with God. And you can share with it, you know, what are you sharing with God? As I said earlier on, that paper that you write, maybe go and write down some of the things that you communicate to God, some of the things that you feel he's saying to you. And it might give you a picture of how intimate, if you have to gauge, how intimate is your relationship with God on a scale from 0 to 10. You know, are you talking about, there's different levels of communication that we do when we do marriage enrichment classes and marriage preparation and so on. The first level of communication is basically courtesy and greeting and so on. Obviously, if you just say, hi God, you know, once a day and goodbye God or whatever, good night, you know, you don't really have much of a relationship right there. Then the next level would be informative, sharing information. Lord, I've got this problem, I've got that problem, I've got that, your wish list. Okay? Or your washing list. And you ask God now to do something about it. That's also not very intimate. Husbands and wives will not survive if we just communicate on that level. Neither is your relationship with God going to be very blessed. It's about where you start asking, How are you feeling? What are the emotions that you're going through? What can I do to make you feel better? That is the most intimate form of communication in terms of speaking and so on. And so it's more often we should be communicating at that level with God. We must experience that kind of freedom and liberty with the Lord. I need to go a lot quicker now. So we can be ourselves with God. Just another example of being ourselves with God. That's not God venting. That's the kind of friend that you can have in God where He can share stuff like that with you. When last has God told you, man, these Muslims are frustrating me so much right now, you know. Do you hear Him talk like that to you? I mean, we can get there. Moses had that kind of a relationship with God. I want that. I don't know about you. It's like where I'm like this with God, you know. That'll be great. So let's look at it from our side. You've got an example there in David, the next scripture in 2 Samuel 6. Dancing before the Lord, as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Saul's daughter Michal looked down from the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. The next scripture, David replied to Michal, "I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me over your father and his whole family to appoint me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord." Next slide. "And I will humble myself even more and humiliate myself. I'll be honored by the slave girls you spoke about." You can see David is absolutely free before the Lord. Willing to dance. He wasn't in his kingly robes there or anything. He was kind of in his scants or his, just slacks rather. Okay. And so he was just going bus. I mean, so often when we come to God, we go into like religious mode, into formal mode. As I say, it's going to be very difficult to forge relationship or build intimacy like that. But maybe we reserve that for a Sunday. And the Saturday before, we were going mullet Newlands, you know, supporting the greatest rugby team on earth. And why can't we, why can't we show emotion and be free with the Lord? Look at David there, and he's the king. Of all people, he should be dignified and worry about what the people think, but just now they lose confidence in him, you know. And here he is, dancing before the Lord. How free are you before the Lord? Are you worshiping the Lord on your way to work? Do you care what the people in the traffic jam next to you think of you, busy praising God and everything? Who cares? It's as Pietri said earlier tonight, we don't have to care what people to the left or the right of us, what they're doing or thinking of us. I would care more what my best friend thinks about me than what people out there think that I don't even know. Okay. So there's a point to having a best friend. You know, there's a differentiation between a best friend and the rest. Okay. We care more about what the best friend thinks. All right. So you can be completely free with God. David's a great example of that. Exodus 34 verse 29. "As Moses descended from Mount Sinai now with the newly inscribed tablets after 40 days, he descended the mountain. He didn't realize that the skin of his face shone as a result of his speaking with the Lord. He was absolutely radiant as he was coming off the mountain from 40 days and 40 nights in God's presence. Absolutely radiant." You see, having a best friend implies that you're spending a lot of time together. And this is a universal law that when you spend time with someone or with God, there's a rubbing off that happens. What's the saying? Bad company corrupts good habits. Okay? Likewise, if you want to be more godly, spend more time around godly people and around God, number one. Okay? Because friends rub off on each other. And you can test this. Think of some people you spend a lot of time with now, some buddies, some mates. Think of some of the things that they say, some of the sayings like cool, radical, that's awesome, this deep, you know. There's a couple there, I know, my brother-in-law and so on. Wat sê duidelik en wat ook al. Duidelik? Okay. Anyway, since you start something like that. And soon, you know, if your friend starts saying it's going to catch on, you're going to be saying that soon. I mean, that's how it works. On one mission trip, you know, coming down, it was so funny, it was hilarious, you know, driving the bus all the way down from Malawi and whatever, and you've got co-pilots, and you spend a good 2 hours with this person, and they must keep you awake and everything, and yeah, you just get onto this pluck, and you start speaking exactly the same lingo, and it's weird, but that's how it works. We need to spend time with God, because we need to, you know, best friends rub off on each other, there's change that happens. You better believe that when you spend time with God, change is going to come, but God's not going to be the one changing. You're going to change. You're going to become more like Him. He's not going to change at all. He's immutable. But that's an awesome, you know, motivator to spending time with Him. You're going to become more like Him. So spend time. Make Him your best friend and spend time with Him. And then we can become like Moses. I mean, Aaron and the elders, they didn't recognize Him. They wondered, what is this? Is this some kind of apparition? They didn't want to go close to Him. Eventually, He had to catch up to them and say, it's me, Moses. I can just imagine Moses running after them. Whoa, it's me, you know, and just them running away. Get away from me. Yeah, anyway, so you might get that picture as well. Okay, fun and games. Okay, so just to close off, Proverbs 18, verse 29, rather 24. Speaks of a friend who stays closer than a brother. This refers to Jesus as well, but isn't it interesting? I've experienced that so many times, and I enjoy that about being a believer, that before I was a believer, I thought I had some good mates and everything. And, you know, there was wrong motivations and whatever, and a lot of drinking buddies and so on that now didn't want much to do with me afterwards. But, you know, you'd spend time together and you think, well, you know, you got a good mate and a trusty friend in this person and whatever. Since coming into the church, and I mean, I had many friends back then, but I've got many, many multiples more friends now as a believer. And there's a kinship and a connectedness that we share on a spiritual level, being brothers and sisters in Christ. A deeper form of relationship that we can share with our brothers and sisters in Christ that you cannot have if you're not a believer. That is truly the wealth that we have in this life, is relationship and being part of God's family. He saved us all to be part of His family, to be sons and daughters, brothers and sisters. There's a connection there that goes deeper than flesh and blood, where I experience my friendships with believers in the church as deeper and more profound and more meaningful and in a sense more intimate like that than even what I have with my own siblings, my sisters, that we came from the same father and mother. And isn't that, they will still come into the church, amen, and get saved, but it is awesome the wealth that we have in being part of God's family. And so it's such a blessing that you can actually have a friend who's closer than a brother in terms of the body of Christ, but also in God Himself. Maybe some of us, we're very tight with our siblings and with our family and so on. And that's one thing. You can't divorce your parents or your sisters or your brothers. You're stuck with them. Okay, you can choose your wife, fortunately. But you are close to your family. You share a history. You've lived together for quite a long time. But even though, and even in spite of that, we have a friend who's closer. So maybe you understand something about intimacy and closeness and loyalty and trust. Well, let me tell you that in Jesus, you have a friend that would go much further, deeper, more intimate than any earthly relationship that you can experience here. Let's close our eyes and just close and pray and close off the service. I want to encourage you. These are just a couple of aspects of friendship and relationship that are maybe highlighted through just some of the scriptures I've been reading recently and that have stood out, but there's so many more, there's so much more to say about it. But maybe something has just sparked in you where you recognize, but hey, I don't experience God nearly in that dimension or to that extent that Moses experienced Him in terms of an intimacy and a freedom and a closeness and a hearing of His voice and Him telling me, you know, sharing Himself with me and and sharing special revelations like that, and where He just comes and warms your heart like that, and where you have really intimate and quality times with the Lord. Do you experience Him in that way? Do you want to experience Him in that way? He wants you to experience Him in that way. And so if that is you, if you feel, man, but you know, I'm not there, but I want that kind of a friendship with God. I want that kind of a relationship. Yes, I know Him as my Father, where I'm His child and I stand to inherit, and He will never divorce me, and He will always love me, and I'm always welcome in His presence. And I understand Him as my King, and I'm here to serve Him and His purposes, and I honor and revere Him and respect Him. But do I have that intimate friendship with Him? Not a casual buddy-buddy thing, but an intimate friendship, a friend that will never let you down, that will never leave you. Do you have that? So just as your eyes are closed, I'd love you to just raise your hand. I'm just going to pray a prayer over everyone here. If you want that, if you want more of that, if you want that from the Lord, you really have a desire for that, if something triggered a nerve tonight and you're like, yes, I want that, I'm not there, I want that, I want to pray for us here. Father, I just want to thank You, Lord, for just revealing more of Your heart for us to know You tonight. More of Your heart that we don't have to be afraid around You, that we can have complete freedom and liberty to be in Your presence, and where we can really just be ourselves, that nothing is too mundane or insignificant for us to share with You, that You desire to be included in every aspect of our lives. You desire shared experience with us. You want us to know that You're always with us and that You will never leave us, that we can bank on You and trust You and depend on You. Lord, where we can know You as our best friend, better than any friend that we've ever had here on earth, Lord God, that You desire an intimate, lifelong relationship with us in terms of friend quality and intimacy. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the people that have really, that have that desire, Lord God, that You thank You that You will not disappoint them. I pray, Lord, that You will draw them ever closer, Lord God. And Father, I thank You, Lord, that even as they draw near to You, Lord, thank You that we can claim that word and stand on that word, that You will perform that, that You will indeed draw near to them. Father, we thank You that we can experience You as our friend. Thank You that we can also say, as Moses, that I'm a friend of God. Thank You, Lord, that we can have that to experience and enjoy and look forward to every day. That You are there when we wake up and You rejoice and dance over us, and You just want us to recognize, acknowledge You, Lord God, and experience You and spend time with You, Lord. And so, Father, I pray that grace and that blessing over each one here, Lord God. Lord, that You will draw us more and more into that intimate relationship with You, and where we can experience You as our friend, where we don't need to be afraid of what You will think, where we can be completely open and honest with You, where we can share our lives with You and not withhold anything, thinking You might judge us or condemn us. Thank You, Lord, that with You there's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no fear. Thank You, Lord, for freedom. Thank You for freedom in relationship with You for each one here in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, that You're always here for us. Now, I just want to encourage you. I don't know where you are at your walk with the Lord, the level of your intimacy with God. But Romans 10 verse 13, we have a wonderful promise there that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I want to encourage you, call on the name of the Lord. If you need saving, if you are feeling far away, you feel like you're just out there in a sea and the waves are just tossing about you, and you really need a life jacket thrown out at you, you need to be saved. You're feeling lost. You're feeling a hopelessness. You're feeling so far away from God right now. Well, let me tell you, He's with you. He knows what you're going through. And He's just waiting for you to call on His name. Call on the name of Jesus Christ. He will save you. Amen. Thank you guys so much.